all Laker fans. Oh, I love my top NBA stories. How great is it? You go around the league, get some information about all the other teams going on, things going on with other teams. Okay, this is how we're going to start our top NBA stories. I do this, by the way, with Michael every pregame show. Oh, Michael Thompson. You get this guy going on a topic, it is gold. Okay, so everyone is upset. Everyone is kind of upset right now about the All-Star Reserve. So this was just announced earlier today. So let me break this down a little bit, okay? The reserves are a very, first of all, look, to be awarded into the All-Star game, that obviously means a lot to a lot of different people. Players are going to be extremely territorial towards a teammate of theirs, somebody that they feel should be in the All-Star game, somebody that should be recognized. Some of this is going to come into play because you're looking at a team's record. What has that team done in the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference? Do they have any representation? So there's a lot that goes into this. By the way, this is, I believe, voted on by the coaches. So this is real deal here. Here are the All-Star reserves. I will start off with the Eastern Conference. Okay. James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Julius Randle, Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, Nikola Jokic. Okay, so those are the reserves, part of the star reserves. Real quick for the Eastern Conference, I don't really think I have any problem with the reserves. And to be honest with you, I'm just not watching every one of these games in the Eastern Conference. I'll tell you some players that they missed. Bam Adebayo, who, by the way, is having a really good season, but Miami's not having a good season. Jimmy Butler, but he hasn't played enough games. Chris Middleton, the team is disappointing if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Tobias Harris of the Sixers, well, you already have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in there. I mean, can you really justify another player? Toronto, Fred VanVleet didn't get in. Malcolm Brogdon didn't get in. Domantas Sabonis, Trae Young, and Gordon Hayward. So this is just according to a list of players that they thought were left off that could get on. I guess the only player that I could see on here, maybe a Trae Young. Maybe if you want to make a case for one of those Miami Heat players. I'm a big Chris Middleton fan, but like I said, that team is not performing the way they're supposed to be performing. So this one's a tough one to tell. There's an obvious one in the Western Conference. So obvious that even LeBron James pointed it out on Twitter. So I'll read off exactly what LeBron James said. Let's see what he got here. Devin Booker is the most disrespected player in our league. Simple as that. 190,000 likes by LeBron James on that one. And then he also put followed by Dame Dalla. Obviously, he's referring to Damian Lillard. So let me give the list. Everybody knows who I'm obviously talking about, who's missed on the list. These are the reserves for the Western Conference. Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert are a part of the list. Damian Lillard, Paul George, Anthony Davis, who you're going to have out because of an injury, somebody's going to slot in his place, Chris Paul, and Zion Williamson. Okay. Means DeMar DeRozan, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Mike Conley, Devin Booker, and Brandon Ingram were, I would say, the ones most people thought had a chance to come on were left off. Devin Booker is the simple one here. This is why I don't understand. Why is Zion on the All-Star team? Why is Zion on the All-Star team? Am I not watching enough Pelicans basketball to appreciate what he is doing? And maybe I'm just not watching enough of the Pelicans. They're 13-17. Phoenix is 20-10 in the Western Conference. They've won 9 of their last 10 games. Devin Booker is an absolute baller. I don't know if Zion is on there because it's the marketing of Zion Williamson. I'm not sure. Who, by the way, maybe it's just me. I don't go out of my way to watch Zion. I know Michael Thompson absolutely loves him. I don't go out of my way to watch Zion. That's the only one that I could really think of on this list. Zion should be out. Devin Booker should be in. Maybe with Anthony Davis not being able to participate in the All-Star game, I'm assuming, right, because he's not coming back. It's 4 weeks, whatever the case is. Then I'm assuming that maybe that's when Devin Booker gets in. So, you know, everybody gets upset about the All-Star game, gets upset about the All-Star reserves, and today was no different. But I do like LeBron going out on Twitter and basically saying, hey, this man is the most disrespected guy out here. And that's coming from somebody who obviously knows the damn game of basketball. Okay, another top NBA story I want to get into. You guys watching the Brooklyn Nets the last couple of weeks, who I think won tonight as well. They did win tonight. The Brooklyn Nets. That is the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, no question about it. The Brooklyn Nets, who have now, they're now tied with the best record in the Eastern Conference, and KD has been in, out of the lineup for I think the last 2 weeks or so. They're on a seven-game winning streak, six or seven, seven-game winning streak. They've beat the Pacers. Then they were on the road against the Suns, Kings, Lakers, Clippers, and then they just beat the Kings again tonight. Seven-game winning streak. They're doing it without Kevin Durant. The big three have only played in just seven games together. Listen, we got a chance to see him here at Staples Center. I don't like putting too much stock into that game. I really do feel if Dennis Schroeder was in, and you know, we were doing the pregame show, and an hour before tip-off, we find out Dennis Schroeder scratched health and safety protocols. Coach was talking about in his pregame presser how excited he was to see Dennis Schroeder go up against Kyrie Irving, that he thought Schroeder looks forward to moments like this, games like this, opportunities like this. I think that would have been a game. And I know AD and KD were out, but just Dennis Schroeder, I think that would have been a game. But I by no means do I think that the Brooklyn Nets are not the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn can win it all. Let's not sugarcoat it. The Brooklyn Nets can win the entire thing, no question about it, in my opinion. They're the favorites coming out of the Eastern Conference. I don't think, you know, you look at the look at the Sixers or look at the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the star power is stronger, obviously, in Brooklyn. And I think, you know, people undermine the experience. KD's got tremendous experience in the league. Kyrie Irving has been through battles in the NBA playoffs and in the NBA finals and hit arguably one of the biggest shots in NBA finals history. James Harden was battling with the you know, the Golden State Warriors for years and almost got past that Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors team. So I think they're set up well in the Eastern Conference. Keep an eye out for the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, the last NBA story I want to get into. Did you guys see this? I got to go back to it. You know, when I do Lakers talk, it's obviously once a week. So I got to go back to that Draymond Green incident from Saturday night. Have you guys ever seen a player? You're up 2 points with 10 seconds left to go. The Golden State Warriors were playing Charlotte. Warriors are up two, 10 seconds left to go, loose ball. Draymond dives for it. Somebody else dives for it. I forget who the other player was that dove for it. And Draymond is called. I don't know if he's called for a foul or they just gave a timeout to Charlotte. I can't remember right off the top of my head. Long story short, Draymond Green gets hit with two technical fouls, up 2 points with 10 seconds left to go to tie the game. And then eventually, Charlotte would hit a shot at the buzzer. I think Terry Rozier hit a shot at the buzzer. That was ball game. The Golden State Warriors lost. I don't think I've ever seen that. I was telling Michael yesterday, I'm like, Michael, do you remember a moment where a player, who by the way is an NBA champion, won multiple NBA championships, is smart enough to understand the current situation, gets a double technical to tie the game? I can't remember ever seeing that or hearing that. Draymond did say, by the way, Steve Kerr mentioned he crossed the line. Draymond said, I let that control get away from me, and in turn, I let the game get away from me, myself and my teammates. And I think the reason is bothered. I think the reason it bothered me more was because winning an NBA game is not easy, and this young team has not had, the guys on this team have not had much experience with winning. And so to take the game away from my teammates, which they worked so hard for, was a bit frustrating for me because I let them down. Listen, I love Draymond Green's game. I really do. Like, I love his passion. I love everything he brings to the table. But critical, crucial, areas of his career, he's cost the Golden State Warriors. Some would argue that he cost the Golden State Warriors an NBA championship by having himself kicked out of Game 5, which eventually the Warriors would lose that series in 7 to LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and the rest of the mix there. Okay, those are our top NBA stories. When we come back, I want to play something from Kendrick Perkins from earlier today. And it's in regards to LeBron James's minutes. And also, I want to play something from LBJ himself about this narrative that he needs rest. He addressed it yesterday in the postgame show. We'll spend a little bit of time on that. Stay right here. By the way, I'm going to read some of your tweets as well. I've been getting these tweets during the show, and I haven't done a good enough job reading them. So I'll read them coming up next. If you want to hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, this is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. By the way, Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation, coming up at 8:30. Quick shout-out here real quick. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. They are a brand-new sponsor to Lakers Talk. We greatly, greatly appreciate their partnership. Couple things that kind of stand out at the moment. Let's see here. Yesterday, LeBron James was asked a couple different times about rest. Does he need more rest? I want to kind of play this because he addressed it the way I was hoping to about his narrative. Take a listen here when he was asked about finding time to rest.
I don't know. You try to find some time in between time to get some rest as much as you can when we're not playing. Really don't have too much of a comment about the All-Star break. You guys know how I feel about that. So I don't even want to tap into that mindset. But, we have a couple of days, after we play our last game, I believe it's at SAC, before that game on Sunday. So I get an opportunity to rest a little bit.
LeBron was mentioning yesterday, he said, look, after the game I rest, during the day off, I rest. And then when it comes to game time, he's obviously ready to go. And he's always emphasized how he takes care of his body in certain ways. What does he put, $1 million a year into his body? And that's pretty much, that's his mindset. That's how he figures out to put himself and make himself ready. Listen what he said about the narrative of him needing rest.
I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. We all need more rest. I mean, this is a fast turnaround from last season, and we all wish we could have more rest. But, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates. And if I'm hurt or if I'm not feeling well, then we can look at it then. But I have nothing but honest people around me, but I'm also honest with myself as well. And, me having the love for the game and me being able to be available to my teammates is more important than anything.
Very simple here on LeBron James and just kind of referencing to the rest part of it and how much time that LBJ, how much he's putting into these games. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think every Laker fan looks at it and says, how nice would it be if LeBron was playing 30 minutes a game rather than 35 or 40? Every Laker fan. I don't know how you can kind of argue that one. I know for me, that's always been one of the things. I look at LeBron, I'm like, gosh, this dude's got so much he's got to carry every single game. That's been his entire career. That's not something that started with the Lakers. His entire career, everything's been on LeBron's shoulders. Yes, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, of course, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. I get that. Don't get me wrong. I know he had, some seasons where you could look at some of the talent that he had with him. But for the most part, even this year, Anthony Davis is on this roster. Who's playing every single game? It's LBJ. LeBron James is. And in the big picture, yeah, why wouldn't you have why wouldn't that be in the back of your mind if you're a Laker fan saying, yeah, that's not ideal. I want to see LeBron playing 35, 40 minutes a game. But you see when LeBron goes to the bench just to take a breather, yesterday is a perfect example, and this is not just yesterday. This has been all season long, even during the playoffs. When LeBron just goes to get a five-minute breather, the entire game changes. There's no control on the offensive side. There's no flow on the offensive side. There's no quarterback on the floor, right? Imagine, literally, imagine taking your quarterback out of a game and you're snapping the ball to the running back. I mean, it's going to be mayhem. And that's what it kind of feels like for the Lakers when LeBron goes to the bench. The Lakers don't have that luxury. And I don't want to keep harping on Dennis Schroeder, but of course, without Dennis Schroeder, that adds an additional element to it. Take a listen here. Kendrick Perkins earlier today was talking about LeBron and was talking about his minutes. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Absolutely not, Greeny. Look, you heard what LeBron James just told us. He said he's not worried about his minutes. And we look, if LeBron James tell us a duck could pull a truck, guess what we better do? We better hook the son of a gun up. Because, look, he is just hitting his second stage of his prime. I'm not worried about his minutes at all. I'm worried about the offense, but I'm not worried about his minutes.
That's an interesting reference there. Was not expecting that one from Kendrick Perkins. But I will say this. I will say that I'd probably fall on another side of things when – yeah, I think it's okay to be concerned with how many minutes LeBron James is playing, and that's not to take anything away from LBJ. He has to do it. He understands he has to do it, and he even explained this is his job, and this is what he feels like he needs to do for the team. One more from Kendrick Perkins on LeBron, and specifically about managing this season, managing the MVP.
Look, it helps his resume for the old heads like you and Stephen A. to go ahead and get fifth MVP so y'all could finally label him the GOAT. But I think LeBron James just want to win. I think he just want to play the game of basketball. He is playing with great joy right now, and I think he just want to be on the court, Greeny. Here it is, with a short turnaround, we thought that he would be load management. He has played every single game this season and has played it at an extremely high level. So right now, I do think he wants the MVP under his belt, and he should want it.
And he should get it, just to kind of add to that. Let me squeeze in a quick call here, 877-710-ESPN, if you guys want to join Lakers Talk. By the way, Trevor Lane coming up from Lakers Nation here in about 6 minutes or so. Denny in L.A., what's going on, Denny?
Hey, good evening, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, man.
We really need a center. I mean, it's obvious that we need a rim protector. And I know that DeMarcus Cousins ain't the guy that we should go after, but we do need someone there. Even McGee, whatever, but we do need that. I mean, those points in the paint are killing us, and that's the only thing. See, we're talking about LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Taking a break or whatever, but if we're able to help him out, the team able to score and maybe, go into the fourth with a lead that's sustainable, or at least that we know we're doing, that's when you get his minutes down. That's what then we could talk about, his minutes are down, and that would help him, but he doesn't want to rest.
Well, Denny, I mentioned something a little bit earlier, and I appreciate you calling into the show. I mentioned something earlier about you look at this Lakers team and look at some of the talent after LeBron, after Anthony Davis, after Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. I don't really have confidence that you're going to get consistent scoring. Like right now you're asking Wesley Matthews without Dennis Schroeder to be consistent in that starting spot. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. You're asking Marc Gasol to be consistent with Anthony Davis out. I don't think that's going to happen. Talen Horton-Tucker, can you be 12 to 15 a game? Probably not. Same thing with Caruso. You might get this one specific game where KCP goes off like he did on the last one, which was great. Obviously, the Lakers need that. But after the top four players that I mentioned, I don't know what those players are going to give the Lakers on a night-in-night-out basis. I really don't. And that's just the reality. And it's, you know, the team is built. It's obviously not built to have Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder out. Of course it's not. But just the AD part, I think the Lakers could carry their own weight. They can keep their head above water, but add Dennis Schroeder into that mix. Now you really start exposing this Lakers team. But anytime you take two main players off a team, of course they're going to be exposed. So I'm not as quick to say, okay, we got to jump the gun and this has got to go and that's got to go and this player's got to go. I do agree we need a rim protector. I mean, I do think that that's the one area everybody agrees upon, and the Lakers got two roster spots to work with. I don't think this is going to be something that, you know, Rob Pelinka and the Lakers front office are ignoring. No, they're watching the same thing you are. They're listening to the same thing that you are as well. Windhorst said something that I thought was great. He said, I don't think the Lakers should jump the gun. I think they should be patient. He actually thought, he said, if DeMarcus Cousins, I'd wait on that. I think you could do better than that. Players who eventually get bought out, just think about the destination for the Lakers. If you're somebody that gets in the buyout market, your exposure, your opportunity to win an NBA championship, the popularity of the Lakers brand, playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. If something goes wrong, nobody's going to point the finger at you. There's other two superstars they're going to point the finger at. Opportunity to kind of resurrect your career to go try and get another contract. We saw that last year. I mean, think about Rondo got another contract, a two-year $15 million deal because of what he was able to do with the Lakers. And that's not uncommon in the buyout market for somebody to go to the right team, the right situation. I think the Lakers are going to be a very, very attractive place in the buyout market, and we'll just have to see what happens. And that, you know, when I say that, I'm obviously not referring to, and I hope you guys understand this, this isn't a perfect team, and there's no such thing as a perfect team. And the hope is that, you know, through the buyout market and through the Lakers getting healthier, that they're as close to it as possible, and we'll see how things play out. All right, Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're going to have Trevor Lane here in a few minutes. I want to give everybody just a quick idea. So tomorrow, Lakers got the Utah Jazz. This game is at Utah. We know no Dennis Schroeder. We know no Anthony Davis. Definitely not expecting the Lakers to come out with a win in Utah. So the Jazz, 25-6 on the season. They did lose a game finally. I think they had won 19-20 or 20-21, something along those lines. And then they finally lost a game to the Clippers. That's the game you guys choose to lose out of all the games? Couldn't have lost to a different team? The Utah Jazz, I do think this is going to be one of those games where, you know, look, it's just going to be tough to even make it a game, to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens. Lakers got obviously nothing to lose. They are in a good position in the sense of, you literally have nothing to lose in a game like this. So we'll see how things play out. I'm looking at the rest of the NBA standings right now. So Phoenix at 22-10. Phoenix sitting at 22-10 or 20-10. You got the Clippers at 22-10 and the Lakers at 22-10. So you look at the, actually kind of look at the top four teams right now in the Western Conference. I don't know how it's all going to eventually play out and break down or whatever the case is. Phoenix better than I thought they'd be. I didn't think they'd be top four. Portland, San Antonio, Denver, and Golden State round out the next four. I don't know who comes in and who comes out. I don't know if Dallas eventually kind of gets things back on track. I think they just beat the Boston Celtics recently. So it is, from a standings perspective, it definitely is one of those things where we're keeping an eye out on it, but we're not all overly paying attention To every single one of these games, but the Lakers have dropped. Let's not pretend like the Lakers haven't dropped over the last week and a half or so, but they definitely have over the last week and a half, and now they kind of find themselves in a position where they're just trying to survive up to the All-Star break. Survival mode right now for the Lakers up into the All-Star break. And even when they, once they do get to the All-Star break and they actually have some time to take a breather and get a quick opportunity to, I guess you can say, exhale for a quick second. They still won't have Anthony Davis for, you know, at least a week after that. Let's hear. So they said 4 weeks for Anthony Davis. So it'd be like another 8 days after the All-Star break if it falls along the lines of just that 4 weeks. There were a couple games that were going on earlier today as well, at least the ones of significance to the Lakers. Blazers and the Nuggets are playing right now. That's a good game. Blazers have a four-point lead. Clippers are blowing out the Wizards. They're up 15. Just want to see if there's any other Western Conference games. I mentioned already Brooklyn got their seventh win in a row. And then Bucks and the Mavericks. Mavericks beat the Celtics. Bucks beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. I did this, and I want to kind of go back to it for a second. By the way, we'll have Trevor Lane here in hopefully the next couple of minutes from Lakers Nation. I want to go back to something real quick. So when I was referencing the Lakers role players, and I was talking about these role players specifically and how these guys are doing, and some of them are just not specifically built to take on some of the minutes and the workload that they're asked to right now. I genuinely believe that. I don't think you're going to get, you know, from Alex Caruso or from Talen Horton-Tucker or from Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol. I just don't think you're going to get consistent play from those guys. KCP in that mix as well. Unfortunately, KCP is kind of that's kind of been his, over the last at least month, 30 days or so, we haven't seen a consistent KCP, somebody that the way he looked in the bubble, the way he was shooting on a consistent and confident basis or whatever the case is, we haven't seen that. But let's see if things start changing. I think one of the things that's going to be of help to the Lakers, they got help coming. Dennis Schroeder won't be there tomorrow, but there's a good chance that Schroeder will be there, hopefully, Lakers game coming up on Friday. Okay, let's go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Trevor Lane. I appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. I want to welcome in Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation, does a fantastic job covering the Lakers. Trevor, what's going on? Thank you for taking some time and joining the show.
Hey, no problem, Adam. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Okay, so I played some clips. I want to get your thoughts on a couple things. So I played a couple clips, you know, last night. I'm sure you took a listen, and LeBron was talking about just his playing time and the way he finds time to get rest, and he doesn't really understand this narrative that he needs rest. How much more comfortable would you feel about LBJ if the Lakers weren't in a position where you had to depend on one player so much every single night? And it's not like he's doing it out of being stubborn. He's trying to win games. And, you know, Lakers aren't going to be in any of these games unless LBJ plays the minutes that he does. What's your thoughts on just the workload here to get through the first X amount of games before we get into the All-Star break?
I mean, I think it's got to be a concern, right? I mean, as much as LeBron is saying that it's not an issue and that he's ready to go, that's not what I'm seeing out on the floor. I think we're seeing a number of players that are looking fairly fatigued, and LeBron is one of them. We saw that in the game against the Wizards with a lot of shots coming up short, and the minutes are starting to really rack up. This isn't how this team was put together. They went and got Dennis Schroeder so that he could take some of that burden away from LeBron. And LeBron wasn't going to have to do all of the heavy lifting in terms of playmaking. But unfortunately, with the situation the Lakers are in right now, for at least one more game, it's going to be on LeBron to pretty much create everything on the offensive end of the floor. So it's got to be something that the Lakers keep a real close eye on and monitor, because just like with Anthony Davis, where they're being careful and saying we're going to give him time to get his legs under him once he's 100%, and we're not going to just throw him right back out on the floor. It's the same thing with LeBron. You need these guys at 100% come playoff time. So it's certainly a little nerve-wracking from the Lakers' perspective and for Lakers fans to see him getting so many minutes at this point in the season. It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Well, it is kind of funny, not funny actually at all. That's the wrong word to use there, Trevor, but it's kind of interesting to, you know, kind of see the position that the Lakers are in. And here we are in these Lakers, no Dennis Schroeder health and safety protocols for the last three games. Of course, no Anthony Davis. I mean, Trev, I don't care who the competition is. That is so incredibly difficult to be in games right now against any NBA club when Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder are out. Do you make a ton from these last three losses? Do you are you paying attention to these four out of five games? How much are you putting into stock these recent struggles for the Lakers?
I mean, I don't think we can just completely dismiss it and say, okay, it's nothing because they're missing those guys. You know, we've seen teams that have missed players throughout the season and they still have figured out ways to step up and get wins. I think we're seeing some very specific skill sets that are lacking in terms of guys who can create their own looks in Schroeder and Anthony Davis. And once those guys are gone, it's really cut down to just LeBron in terms of creating for himself and creating for others. But I also think that with this Lakers team, we're seeing things get compounded where a shooting slump is now having to also deal with missing players and then deal with different rotations. You're seeing groups out there, five-man groupings that just haven't shared the floor
sure. A
whole lot for the Lakers just yet. And so all of that is creating what we're seeing right now, and that's this losing streak that they're on. And that's, you know, not a fun thing to go through for the Lakers, not a fun thing for Lakers fans. But, again, you know, the ultimate success or failure of the season is going to depend on what happens in the playoffs, what happens come June. That's what's going to matter for this team long-term. But for right now, I think we can say that, you know, while we talked how much depth the Lakers had coming into the season, at this point, we haven't really seen anybody truly step up and fill in for Anthony Davis. Not that you can replace that guy, but I don't feel like any of the bench players have really stepped into a bigger role here for the Lakers and found success at this point. And maybe that changes tomorrow night against the Jazz.
Well, Trev, I think this is where that's why I think I started off the show giving the Lakers fans 74 reasons why I'm not that concerned right now. And I think I actually listed 74, Trev. I mean, I think I spent the first 35 minutes just excuse after excuse, by the way. But one of the reasons why I think I've kind of keyed in on this and I've focused on it is because I don't think any of these players that the Lakers have past Dennis Schroeder or Montrezl Harrell that you can depend on consistently. I really don't. And I don't think that's their role. Wes Matthews might get you one good game every once in a while. Alex Caruso or THT can find ways to affect the game. Maybe THT will give you 15, but he'll probably go a few games without doing that. And go down the list. Marc Gasol, Markieff Morris, Kuzma the closest to being more consistent than at least some of these other players that we're talking about. They're now put into a role where they need to deliver because not just Anthony Davis is out, but also Dennis Schroeder is out. And I think that's why I'm kind of pumping the brakes on what we've seen over the last week, because here's the reality. If AD and Dennis Schroeder, obviously aren't in the Lakers lineup, of course AD much more than that, then there isn't going to be much of a conversation come playoff time anyway. So I think that's why I'm not as concerned as maybe some Laker fans are.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think the sky is falling or anything like that. Like some people are running around and saying, you know, oh, we need to trade everybody and get rid of the coaching staff. And I'm seeing that sentiment out there. And look, that's a normal part of being a fan, right? That kind of mentality is going to be part of your team culture during some point of the season. I certainly don't think we're at that point. It's not like you just have to scrap everything and start over and clearly this isn't working or anything like that. But I do think, like you said, you're seeing guys who are a little bit more inconsistent when they don't have those other pieces to rely on, when they don't have Schroeder, when they don't have Anthony Davis. And that's something that the Lakers need to be aware of moving forward, and maybe something that they can help fix from the trade deadline or the buyout market. Maybe you can add another piece who is able to maybe create a shot or just have a little bit more consistency in their role. Because you're right, there's a lot of guys that right now you just can't count on a nightly basis, and that becomes a much bigger issue when you don't have Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder.
Trev, I think one of the things, Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation joining Lakers Talk, one of the things we saw last night was Quinn Cook waived by the Lakers. And we also saw earlier today, even though it was reported a couple days ago, DeMarcus Cousins waived by the Houston Rockets. Lakers got two roster spots available now. And I just want to get your opinion first just on DeMarcus Cousins. Would he be a good fit with this Lakers team, yes or no?
I don't think so. I think that if you look at Boogie, he could be the best big man out there talent-wise in terms of ceiling. That could be the best big man that hits the buyout market. I mean, we don't know exactly who's going to hit the market yet, but that's possible. But there's a lot of skill set duplication with Marc Gasol in terms of a three-point shooting big that's also a talented passer. And probably not that great at this point as far as protecting the rim goes, or at least not to the level that the Lakers need. And so that's why I'm going to say no in terms of him being a good fit with the Lakers. But I'm rooting for him, man. I really would like to see Boogie get things back on track and get in sync somewhere and get his career going again, because what a rough stretch that he had with those three injuries in a row.
Yeah, okay, so I'm with you, because I mentioned this as well. I do agree, if every Laker fan, which, you know, I think it's very, very fair when they say, Noah, Trev, Al, we need a rim protector. We need somebody. Man, we missed Dwight Howard, and JaVale McGee was key last year as well. Look what the mm-hmm. Lakers had with those big men. DeMarcus Cousins on the Lakers roster last season was fine, because Marc Gasol wasn't there, and you had JaVale McGee, and you had Dwight Howard. And I know, of course, things eventually changed, but I just use that as an example because I don't think they need another player like Marc Gasol. So with that in mind, you know, if you want to name players, you can, but position-wise, what type – you have two roster spots left. What kind of positions do you think are needed for the Lakers if that opportunity comes in the buyout market? And – you know, we kind of look big picture here.
Well, I'm looking for one thing in particular, Alan, and it's what a lot of Lakers fans are looking for right now, and that is the traditional rim-protecting big. And that's not to say that Marc Gasol is horrible or anything like that. I'm just saying, in terms of having another type of player for Frank Vogel to turn to in the right moments. And we saw last season in the playoffs, there's some series where that guy may not play. But if you can go get like a Hassan Whiteside or a Nerlens Noel or that type of player, maybe not those guys specifically, but a traditional rim-protecting big man, that could, I think, be a benefit to the Lakers. And then the other thing I'm looking for is another wing defender. I still don't feel like they have quite enough in terms of guys that you can throw at, a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, all of these guys that you might see at some point during the playoffs, these high-scoring wings. And so a guy like maybe our old friend Trevor Ariza
sure.
might not be a bad fit there. Somebody who can space the floor a little bit and play some defense on the wing. I think those are the two things. If the Lakers can fill those two roster spots with a traditional big and a 3-and-D style wing player, which is in high demand in the NBA, but if Rob Pelinka could find a way to add those two things, I think that's going to be a big, big win for the Lakers.
Yeah, listen, you know, I haven't really got a chance to hit on this too much, but I feel like the competition compared to last season is tougher this year. And, you know, if the Lakers had more of a luxury, and, you know, obviously Kevin Durant was still injured, and Brooklyn wasn't a part of the mix. James Harden was playing for the Rockets. I mean, there's a lot of different storylines. But do you agree that winning a championship this season, just competition alone, there's more competition out there? What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on how Brooklyn has, you know, obviously they've won 7 games in a row now. They're doing it without KD. The Utah Jazz, the number one record in the Western Conference. Do you think it's more competitive this year?
Yeah, I do think it is. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, you've got the Brooklyn Nets, who obviously have the top end talent. And then they waived 3 players tonight. And so they're going to have some roster spots open so they can go shopping on the buyout market as well. So they could be getting better. Then you've got, of course, like you said, the Utah Jazz. I think that's the big thing for the Western Conference now. Are we at a point, Alan, where we have to reevaluate the way we looked at the Western Conference? Because heading into the season, we said the Lakers and the Clippers, that's the top tier. It's those two teams that are in a tier above everybody else in the West. And I think now you can make a really strong case that it's a 3-team top tier in the West with the Utah Jazz in there, as well as the Lakers and the Clippers. And I think that creates an interesting situation where if you don't get the 1 seed, you potentially have to play, in order to get to the NBA Finals, to get through the Western Conference, you potentially have to play 2 top-tier seeds. in order to get there if you're not the number one seed this year, obviously depending on where everybody falls. But that could create certainly a challenge for anybody in the West. And then you've got a number of other teams that are playing very, very well. I mean, the Phoenix Suns, the Portland Trailblazers when they're healthy, the San Antonio Spurs have been a major surprise. So, yeah, Alan, I think that's absolutely right. I think it's going to be even more competitive this year, which is even more reason why the Lakers have got to be healthy come playoff time.
And listen, Trev, I think that's what it comes down to, right? I mean, I take my chances against any team in the league as long as the Lakers are healthy. Now, I'd also be lying to you if I didn't say Brooklyn presents, that looks scary, you know, what they're obviously doing there. And if the wrong player ends up with the Brooklyn Nets in the buyout market, that obviously would be a concern. We'll see how they, you know, round up the rest of their roster. But just based on what they already have, that's a real seven-game set. That's not a, over time, over a seven-game series, Lakers. No, that's a real seven-game set. Final question I have for you, just kind of stay on the Western Conference for a quick second. Utah's got the best record in the NBA. The Clippers are tied with the Lakers for the second best record in the West. They played each other a few days ago. Clippers beat the Jazz. If those two teams go against each other in a seven game set, do you like the Jazz right now or the Clippers more in a seven game series?
I think in a seven game series, I'm going to go with the Clippers because the MO for the Utah Jazz for a while now has been that they have these stretches in the regular season where they look really good. But then come playoff time, teams kind of figure them out once they have more opportunity to prepare for them. And so until they dispel that and they get rid of that narrative and they win a playoff series like that, I got to still look at the Jazz as a team that might falter a little bit come playoff time, that maybe they can be locked down. Some of their sets and things can be blown up in the playoffs. So I would lean the Clippers there. But I also think that the possibility that this is just the Jazz's season in terms of them finally making that leap to the next level and Donovan Mitchell taking the leap to be a true superstar in the NBA, it could just be their time. That's becoming a growing possibility. But for right now, I'd still have to go the Clippers against the Jazz.
Trevor, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you doing this. Appreciate your insight as always. And let's see what the Lakers can do before we get to the All-Star break. They got some tough games coming up. So thank you for taking the time.
Hey, sounds good, man. Thanks again for having me.
All right, that's Trevor Lane right there, Lakers Nation. Let me read off a couple quick tweets here. Jamin Fitness on Twitter. Unless we grab a productive big body, I'm very concerned, but I love your optimism. East is way better this year. At Point Given 21, they really aren't that good. What do you mean they're really not? They're 22-10. They've lost three games in a row without Dennis Schroeder and Anthony Davis. Okay, one more that I want to read off. Let's see here. Patrick Faulkner on Twitter. We lost four in a row last year, 5 of 6, and the world dismissed us. If you're not with us now, don't try to be with us holding that chip again. Okay, yeah, Patrick's got his own thoughts on that one. Appreciate you guys hitting me on Twitter. By the way, at Alan Sliwa on Twitter. So coming up, I'm going to do my ESPN Los Angeles. I'm going to do our social show. So we do the social show right after this. So it's Lakers talk again. This time it's with video. It probably goes for about a half hour or so. So if you want to join on that, we're doing it on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, Facebook, you name it, we're doing it. Lakers got the Utah Jazz tomorrow. That's a tough one tomorrow. Let's not sugarcoat tomorrow's game. That's an incredibly tough game against the Utah Jazz. You know, it's one thing for the Jazz to have the best record in the NBA, but I think Utah is also trying to send a message. Not much of a message you can send when the Lakers don't have their second and their third best players playing in the game, but we'll see how Utah handles it. I think if they blow out the Lakers, that'll be something that the Lakers will remember, and I'm sure AD and Dennis Schroeder will say, okay, we're looking forward to playing you guys when we get you in the second half of the season. We're still waiting for the second half of the schedule to come out. I think that's supposed to come out here pretty soon, and we'll get a kind of a better idea of how much tougher and what stretches are going to be tough for the Lakers moving forward. So a lot going on here before we get to the All-Star break. All-Star break, by the way, last game for the Lakers, March 3rd. March 3rd. So between now and March 3rd, you got the Utah Jazz. A week from Wednesday is when the Lakers will wrap it up against Sacramento. But Utah, Portland, Golden State, Phoenix, and Sacramento. If you missed any part of the Lakers talk tonight, you can catch it on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Remember, all 2 hours are there. Just search Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in. LA, have a great rest of your night.